I had a confused impression of swirling bodies on a dance floor, lit with migraine stabs of brittle light. A monstrosity of a bar, with two slim male shapes handing out what could have been drinks in twisted, sparkling glasses. The press of the crowd, alternately feverish and cold. The whirling crowd pressed back against each other as stipples of light flashed around me. Those little sparkles were half-unseen spikes, surrounding me, their tips fluorescing up into the visible. An aura, an exorcist's aura. Be careful, Jill. Perry directed me towards an iron door behind a frayed red velvet rope. It opened onto a staircase going up.
So far, so good.
As he drew me up the stairs, I knew I'd been here before, several times. Another door crouched at the top, and he pushed it open. White light flooded the stairwell, and I blinked. The room was white too, an expanse of white carpet, a mirrored bar to one side, a huge swan bed swathed in bleached mosquito netting, a bank of television screens flickering at odd intervals. Some of them were dark, some fuzzed with static. Others showed the club's interior and exterior, flicking rapidly through surveillance angles. Still more held news feeds, footage of explosions and disasters shuddered soundlessly.
Come, kiss.
He led me across the room towards the bed, then put his hands on my shoulders. I sat, my feet placed side by side like good little soldiers. He finally let go of my arm, stepped back, and brushed at stray strands of my hair that had come loose. I didn't flinch. I just waited for clues. My eyes fixed on the blue gleam running under the ring's surface.
There. That is perfect. Just perfect. Oh, I've often thought that if I could have you just sit there, just so, all the problems would fade into insignificance.
Problems?
I have no problems, darling, now that you're in my sight. Apple of my eye, flesh of my flesh. And you must be hungry. One moment.
He stalked to the bar, his wingtips crushing the pristine carpet. The horrific buzzing rattled my skull. I hunched my shoulders and went still. The air was curiously flat in here. The bed smelled faintly of fabric softener, but that was it. There was nothing else. It was the equivalent of a blank page.
There's something you're not seeing. Look deeper. Look again.
If I could get the meat inside my head to stop sounding like an overworked lawnmower on crack, I would. The sound filled my bones, shaking me like a terrier with a toy and its sharp white needle teeth. My ribs heaved, lungs burning, as if I was chasing something across rooftops. The business card was crumpled, but I lifted it anyway. It still said the same thing.
Think. A card in a wallet. Doesn't mean much. Or it could mean everything. Which one are you betting on?
Et voilà!
In the middle of the Arctic expanse of carpet, a table had bloomed. Covered by a fall of snowy linen, it had a bloody, half-closed rose in a vase like fluted ice. Two places, set with exquisitely simple porcelain. Forks and knives and spoons of heavy, pale golden metal. A bleached, brassy candle holder like a twisted tree held thin white tapers. Their flames were colorless, standing straight up. He indicated the chair with its back to the bed, a high-backed, spine-shouldered piece of pallid metal with a cushion of faded red velvet.
I have no violinist and no apples, but I think we shall do very well. Come, sit.
I crushed the business card in my fist, suddenly very sure I didn't want the twisting under his skin to see it.
I have questions.
Of course you do. And I'm in a position to give you answers. Plenty of them, too.
Then start. Who buried me in the desert?
Hardly dinner conversation, Kiss. But I suppose you have a right to know. When I saw you last, you were dead.
When was that?
Oh, about 2 months ago. What would you like for dinner, my dear?
Knives. You said knives and a coat.
Don't be uncivilized. Sit over here.
My legs carried me upright, and the gun dropped to my side. His teeth looked a lot sharper now.
Right here. That's a good girl. We'll have a nice, happy dinner. The first of many.
Does that mean I've never eaten here before? I think that's a fair guess. I'll bet I had my reasons. The time for me to make any move was narrowing, ticking away in microseconds. The gun twitched, my right wrist suddenly burning, the sensation moving out into my fingertips, and it fought to bring the gun up, squeeze off a shot. Then the door burst open, and I was up, whirling, gun trained on the new arrival. Perry was suddenly there, slim, pale fingers tensing at the man's throat. Man or boy, he was so slight I couldn't tell. His ears came up to high points, and his teeth were only bluntly human. But dapples of shadow bruising ran over his skin, and his hair writhed in fat brown dreadlocks like it had a mind of its own. Helaton, the language of the damned.
I thought I said I wasn't to be disturbed. This had better be.
God!
Speak up!
God one! Watching us!
Indeed.
Perry went still for a few seconds. A hot, dry draft reeking of spoiled honey brushed the room. Even immobile, you could see his molecules trying to escape, jittering away. Under his suit coat, his back shifted, something straining inside the shape he wore. Horror crawled up into my throat, my brain shivering away from the suggestion underneath, like a twisted alien body under a blanket. So horribly wrong, a chill walks up your spine with ice glass feet. I've seen that before, though. I survived seeing it. I know I did. Perry glanced to the side, his profile severe and handsome, a classical statue's long nose and relaxed mouth. His eyes scorched, and he made a sudden, swift movement. The traitor's neck broke, and the hellbreed dropped him like a dirty rag. I stared at the body as it slumped to the side, twitching and juddering, dusky corruption racing through its tissues. Perry turned towards me, locking eyes.
Oh, there's no need to fear. This will only take a moment, darling mine. You can even watch.
Is that what's called killing the messenger?
You could say that, but it's also a lesson. They shouldn't interrupt me, not while I'm with you. Come along, back downstairs. This should be instructive.
The damned paid no attention as we moved past them, writhing against each other. I glanced out over their sea of chains and leather, slim legs, sweet curves, and the bloom of powdery rot on each of them. Hunter, Jill, you're a hunter, and these are what you kill. Perry led me towards another door at the end of the dance floor opposite the velvet rope. More doors marched down the hallway on either side, and again, recognition rose to choke me. The last time I'd been here, these doors had all been standing open, torn out teeth and a dead smile. Behind the one at the far end of the hall had been a table shattered to matchsticks, an iron throne demolished, and something hanging in silvery chains. Something horribly battered. And as I'd walked in, the chains had rasped against each other. Fat, dry, sliding tongues.
Perry chose a door on the left and flung it wide. He minced into the room beyond.
Well, 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 what have we here? Oh, look, a stray cat.
A cat?
Suddenly I saw a pair of dark eyes, tawny sides moving, the sun picking out gold along a cat's sleek lines, and he nuzzled my throat, kissing while I shook.
Saul?
He was important.
Oh, hold it down. She'll want to see this. This couldn't have been better if we'd planned it. Kiss! Kiss, my darling! Come inside!
I hate him calling me that!
Another key, another broken lock, muscles hardening as I twisted it. The effort was both physical and mental, the gem on my wrist scorching, threads of silvery pain sliding up the nerve channels all the way up to my elbow.
Oh!
Dawn rose inside my head. But it was the sterile white light of a nuclear sunrise. Everything inside me turning over and shattering as consciousness flooded me. My entire body locking down, muscles spasming and ruthlessly controlled.
Fighting in the dark, night after night spent cleansing the city streets of things like the dancing mob in the belly of this building. And Perry pulling the strings. Our bargain sealed by a scarred lip print on my right wrist. I hate everything about him. Everything.
But that wasn't important right now. Training jacked my hormone balance. Adrenaline, a bright copper flood across my tongue. The bloody neon light flashing as my eyelashes fluttered. The ring let out a scorching throb on my left hand, silver reacting to the etheric contamination filling this bruised, hollow place. I dropped back into myself.
That's a wear. Probably a cat wear, too. He's just been punched in the gut. I can't let that happen.
Immobility shattered. I hit the door, slamming it wide, hitting a traitor. Chunky, thick, plaid shirt, bare feet, misshapen and horned with calluses. I twisted, bringing my gun up towards a second traitor. His head exploded in a mess of bone and brain. I whirled, kicked a third traitor just under the chin.
I should really have boots for this sort of work.
I dropped, instinct taking over as a pale smear bulleted past me. It was Perry, his hands outstretched. And if I hadn't shed momentum and hit the ground, he would have crashed right into me. As it was, he couldn't slow himself before he hit the solid wall at the other end of the room. The man the traitors had been holding up slumped, his body heading shapelessly from chair to the floor. On the wall beside him, a pair of chains hung, little spots of white gleaming on their thin surfaces.
Orcock-tainted titanium chains.
I had no time to think about what they would do to whatever they would chain down in here. I hauled Theron up and flung us both backward toward the door.
Time to go to work, Jellybean.
In the corridor again, the gem on my right wrist turned scorching. A tide of wine-red strength flooding up the bones and veins, jolting in my shoulder and roaring through the rest of me. I was hoping it wasn't Perry's force I was drawing off, but whose else could it be?
It doesn't matter. Deal with the devil and dance another day.
Time was short, but I needed to assess the wear. The man's bulk was surprisingly heavy. I had one hand wrapped in his skein of dark hair, the other tangled in the shredded remains of his t-shirt, and he was bleeding. The blood was red, no trace of black at its fringes, and I hauled him up for better leverage. His head tipped back, a lean, dark face horribly bruised and swelling, and a heatless shock of recognition went through me.
Wait. This isn't Saul.
Another part of my aching head lit up under Klieg-light memory.
Faerun, Werepanther. Works at Mickey's out on Mayfair. Good backup.
Faerun, let's move. Faerun was up. He shook his head, stared up at me like he didn't quite credit what he was seeing. I shoved him toward the end of the hall that gave out into the Monday's interior. No exit the other way, and legions of the damned between us and the outside.
Fun times, Jill. Never a boring moment. Get your ass moving! Just then, the traitor I'd hit with the door was propelled out into the hall. Wide shoulders slumped, and his face a mask of black-tinged blood from his mashed nose. Somehow, it had splattered everywhere, and a fresh gout stained his flapping Hawaiian shirt as he saw me and hunched like a demonic football player. His modified feet twisted, so the toes splayed, and great horny toenail claws dug into the flooring. Don't worry about him. Worry about Perry, who's due out any second. The doorway evaporated as a wash of blue hellfire burst out, unholy flames blooming. The glare swallowed the crouching traitor whole, and he went up like a fatty candle. Saren, run! I threw myself back just as Perry emerged, wreathed in pale blue, livid hellfire, and his bland face suddenly sharply starving handsome again. Theron busted the door clear off its hinges, and I sailed back, crashing into a knot of traitors. The flames belled out again. I turned back to catch a glance of Perry, washed in blue.
Kiss!
He looks pissed. I was up again in a hot second, my heel grinding into something soft, and my elbow whapping a female traitor a good one in the face. Theron only had the traitors at the door to worry about then. He could be out in the night in a moment, vanished with a ware's speed and agility.
What's he doing here in the first place? What's going on?
But that wasn't my problem right now. My problem was the hellbreed who had stepped out of the blurring, grasping fingers of blue flame. I raised the gun. Both shots were good, solid hits. Perry's head snapped back, a gush of thin black ichor hanging in the air. I threw myself aside as a stick-thin male trader in a black t-shirt and jeans leapt for me. A dark blur hit the traitor from the side. Theron had the traitor down, blurring through panther form into humanoid, claws tearing. The shape between isn't any place wares linger. Even there, they are beautiful. He just saved my bacon.
Except I'd been planning for that hit.
Now I was scrambling to recover as Perry's head tipped back down, the ichor closing over the hurt and sealing it away. Without silver, bullets would barely slow him down.
Great.
Perry grinned murderously and launched himself for me. The gem sent a spike of clear, hot pain all the way up my arm, detonating in my shoulder, tearing across my ribs, and jerking down my legs in one swift lunge. My foot came up. My sneaker crashed into Perry's jaw, force transferred, and the jolt snapping something low in my right leg. Red pain bolted up to my hip. I landed hard. Theron was suddenly there, legs driving him up as his hand closed around my left arm, and he left the ground in a leap of effortless natural authority. We tore through the moth-eaten red velvet curtain and burst out into the cool darkness outside. The parking lot reeled drunkenly before me as he broke for the scrub at its edge ahead with me in tow. The bullets from the bouncer's submachine gun dug a sewing machine trail behind us. We plunged into the scrub brush at the edges of the lot. I didn't risk a look back to see if Perry was already in pursuit. It didn't matter one way or another. The hunt was on. Being carried along by a catware is an exotic experience, even if you can understand what's happening to you. Being dragged by a slowly healing, very angry werepanther was a new one even for me. Or at least, it felt new. I hoped it was. Theron came to a stop as the dark of an alley swallowed us.
Jesus. It's you.
So they tell me.
Yes, I knew who I was. I knew who he was. I knew what we both were. And I knew enough about Perry to guess we should keep running. I just couldn't figure out how I'd ended up dead.
Where have you been? You tell me that. Where have you been? Saul...
Saul? Is he all right?
Thayrin's eyes flashed gold-green for a moment, rods and cones reacting differently than a human's at night. Then a brief sheen of orange. When Weirs and Breed get excited, the eyes get all glowy. The knowledge slid into place like I'd always known. Maybe I had. It didn't disturb me.
Weirs are safe. I'm sure of that much, at least.
Saul's... You don't remember?
I woke up last night in my own grave, Thayrin. I'm not sure what I remember. Or who.
I leaned back into the wall. Whatever was dumped in the trash piles here reeked to high heaven. But at least it might cover up our smell. Neither of us were too fresh right now. I reeked of gunfire, rotting traitor blood, and effort. Thayrin of musky, unhappy catware and fresh blood. We both carried this sweet whiff of hellbreed corruption. It was a heady mix, but not a particularly nice one.
I remember some things. Others, not so much. And some things I only remember too late.
Like hating Perry. He seemed so familiar.
Glad I found you.
Shit, me too. We were about to... Look, you don't know anything? Where have you been?
Dead, Thayrin. Weren't you listening? We've got to get out of here. They're looking for us.
He grabbed my arm again.
I can run. You just hold on.
I can run. Whoa!
He simply yanked at me while he turned. A graceful, complex movement ending up with my arms around his throat. He straightened, and my legs came up instinctively around his middle.
Just like an uncle taking a kid piggyback riding.
We're running for the barrio. Relatively safe there, even with the war.
I took a deep breath of Thayrin. Catware, musk, and wildness. Familiar. But it wasn't him I was thinking of.
Saul, where are you, Catkin?
The last thing I remembered was Galena's face when she told me he'd been taken by Hellbreed. But there was a maddening blank spot after that, bruise-colored, aching, and blank as a dead TV monitor. I had no time to settle down and think and try to figure out what to do about it. War?
War on Weirs, Jill. You've been out a while. Things are... complex. They're coming.
I can fight.
But I held on. Burst into motion, bolting for the blind end of the alley. We went up the wall in a breathless rush, and the city yawed underneath. Fur scraped my arms. He dropped halfway into cat form, and I hugged him as tight as I could. I hoped I wasn't throttling him, and I hoped he could run fast enough. Because I knew they'd found our trail. We almost made it. The edge of the barrio was temptingly close, but there were just too many of them. They were between us and safety. We crouched on a rooftop in the lee of a billboard for car insurance. I slid from Thayrin's back.
Hauling my ass around probably hasn't done him any good.
Catch your breath. I slid the gun free. Even if the ammo was no good, it would at least slow the traitors down. And if I could bleed them out badly enough, the corruption of their bargains would finish them off.
Hellbreed are a different proposition, but I'll think of something.
Run for the barrio. I'll draw them off.
Right. You and your Lone Rangers shit.
Thayrin didn't look good. Cheesy, pale. Those bruises. And if my eyes weren't fooling me, thinner than when we'd started this whole barrel of fun. His metabolism was at scorch level to heal him and provide the speed he just used to cart me halfway across the city.
Quit talking. It's wasting breath, and I need you ready to run when I make a diversion.
Jill, what do you remember?
I sort of remember Galena telling me Hellbreed took Saul. Not much after that. Or before, for that matter.
Saul's alive. Last I saw.
Oh. Okay. Good. Last you saw?
He's in the barrio.
And?
It's complex, Hunter. Listen.
Shh. Hold that thought.
I tensed. prickling silence closing over me.
The first thing any apprentice learns, to be quiet little snake under rock.
Apprentice? Gilberto? Lank hair, acne-pitted skin, dead eyes. My apprentice. The chain of memory pulled taut, the curtain in my head rippling. But I had no time to follow that chain into the cold deep and see what it dredged up. Because there, at the edge of the rooftop, a shadow slunk, lifted its wax-bald head, sweat gleaming over its naked, hairless chest. It crouched, sniffing. Theron had become a statue next to me. Are there more? I squeezed my dumb eye shut, focusing with the blue one as it looked beneath the visible. The strings under the surface of the world resonated, each quivering individually, as the tension in its neighbors communicated itself. I can't see them, but that doesn't mean they're not there. It was on all fours, its haunches higher than its head, and encased in a ripped pair of faded jeans. Its face was damn near buried in the floor of the roof. I couldn't even tell if it had originally been male or female. And at this distance, only a suggestion of the body modifications it had traded for could be picked out, even with my vision on overdrive. And my left eye suddenly feeding way more information than I needed directly into my brain. Theron, when I move, run for the barrio, and don't fucking argue. My right wrist hummed, a warning. The thing snaked its head, muscle rippling oddly up its bare back. A flat shine reflected from its eyeballs, like a drift of pollen on stagnant water under a strong light. Dusted eyes, traitor, not breed. Hellbreed eyes actually glow, if you can call that diseased shine a form of light. There aren't proper words for it. Thank God. I was barely aware of moving, streaking across the rooftop. The traitor's malformed head flung up, and I saw the dust shine, runneling over eyeballs dried and useless as raisins. The nose was a ruined cavity, double sinus dishes like sinkholes. The mouth wet and open to take in more air. The mouth was slit on either side, cheeks gashed, so it could open even wider. A spiked collar strapped around its skinny throat. Leather and brassy metal, both glowing with unholy foxfire. That's so it doesn't swallow the prey, like a cormorant. I hit hard, tumbling with it off the roof. It twisted in the air, but I managed to get a bead on it with my .45. Bleed it out. Rip its throat out if you can. Brace yourself, Jellybean. This is gonna hurt. I hit hard, spilling to the side in a tangling roll to shed momentum. My right leg crunched with agony. My shoulder gave a high, sustained soprano note of overstress. My head hit concrete with a stunning crack. Nice. I've landed right in the middle of the goddamn road. I yanked on all the etheric force I could reach. It jolted up my arm, hot and pure. A completely different sensation from the hot, twisted flood of Perry's mark. I jackrabbited to my feet, the shattered edges of my right femur grating together. And the pain was a spur as the gem on my wrist lit up like a Christmas ornament, and etheric force tied the bone back together. The sea urchin spines of my aura, hardened by countless exorcisms, lit up too. The points of light swirled around me in a perfect sphere. A hellbreed jagged toward me from the right. Her claws were bony scythes. I threw myself aside, landing on the hood of a big red SUV oddly slewed in the road. A teenage boy in the driver's seat gawped at me. I leapt again, straining, the gem on my wrist feeding a burst of controlled fire through me. Blue light flashed, another spark from the ring, and I was still god-awful fast, almost hellbreed fast, especially when I wasn't weighed down by weapons and a long black coat.
though I'd like my coat now, and some ammo. And for my birthday, I'd really like a pony.
My foot flicked out, and I kicked the dreadlocked breed in the face. The impact jolted up to my hip, taking a break in my still-healing femur.
Oh, Jill!
I spotted a second figure out of the corner of my eye, but I had to stay focused on my current target, who had twisted back into a standing posture. The dreadlocked breed tumbled aside, half her head evaporating in a mess of black ichor and zombie oatmeal.
What the fuck? I didn't shoot her!
The newcomer uncoiled over me with a bound that was pure poetry. Long leather duster flapping like wet laundry shaken. Silver sparked and popped in her hair. Beads tied to tiny braids in the straight shoulder-length mass. And her blue eyes were alight with hard joy. The ruby above and between her eyebrows was a point of living flame.
Holy shit, I know her!
She spun, firing at another hellbreed streaking out of the shadows. I could not for the life of me come up with her name. And I froze for a few critical moments. A traitor landed on the hood of a small black sports car, legs swelling with muscle, and his entire body lengthening. He exploded out of the crouch and for her back. The recoil jolted up my arm. Hopefully the bleeding out would do the rest, but if it didn't, I'd figure something else out.
Status!
The woman strode up, her right-hand gun blurring into its holster and her fingers jerking at something attached to her belt. She was asking if I could fight.
I can. I'd be more than happy to. It would make me ecstatic. I just need some goddamn ammo that would put these motherfuckers down.
I'm low on ammo. My legs burned, bone messily healing, crackling as etheric force jerked at them to set the brakes correctly. It was the gem on my wrist doing it, and I didn't care. Traffic was at a complete standstill.
Civilians all over! Werepanther up on the rooftop! Hope he's headed for the barrio. Fucking hellbreed chasing us! Perry!
Figures. What are you packing?
45. One. Nothing else. Regular ammo.
We both turned, my gun coming up. The thing in her right hand was a bullwhip. Sharp silver spines at its end. She twitched it a little, assuring free play. And my fingers suddenly itched.
Damn! I want one too!
Theron rose from a crouch.
Davy, look who's back.
Davy. Anya Davy.
Relief washed over me. If she was here, things had just gotten exponentially better. So why did my heart suddenly pound in my wrists and throat for a moment, before training clamped down again? Why did I feel suddenly guilty?
Barrio?
I was trying.
Galena's.
Can't make it. Too many of them. Wait for daylight.
I lowered my gun, did another half turn. Traffic was hell to breakfast higgledy-piggledy, and people were actually starting to get out of their cars to get a closer gander at the trouble.
Idiot looky-loos.
But then they didn't know Hellbreed were on the loose. We kept it a secret. We hunters.
Monty's gonna have kittens over this. Monty? Wait. Am I in the middle of a case?
We had to vanish soon, or the crowd would get hurt. As it was, the cops were going to have trouble with this one.
Goddamn stubborn wares. Jill, you with me?
Yeah.
Are you safe?
Her gaze was disconcertingly direct, and for a moment I thought I could see all the way into the back of her brain. I didn't look away.
Am I safe?
Oh, never mind. Here.
Davy's left hand flicked something to me, and I plucked it out of the air. It was an extended clip, and I caught a glint of silver from the top bullet peeking out.
Silver jacket rounds. Just the thing to pierce a breed's tough shell and poison them. Weaken them enough so you can tear them to itty-bitty pieces.
For the umpteenth time that long, long night, relief swamped me. The waves of feeling under my skin were like caffeine jolts, or like some drug that hadn't been invented yet.
Thank you, God. Now we can do some shit. Oh, yeah.
Stay low. You hear me, Kismet? No heroics. Stay low, follow Faerun, and I'll do the rest. And Jill?
Yeah?
If you become a liability, I'll put you down myself.
She's braced for action. As if I'm the enemy.
Or as if I was a question mark. That was new and unwelcome. We were hunters, she and I. It's a bond deeper than blood. And there are no lies told or implied. No quarter asked or given.
Why would she even say that?
My right wrist gave a throb, and I had a sudden, very bad feeling about all this.
Time to go.
Kyrie eleison.
Ramshackle frame houses slumped in a jam-packed neighborhood deep in the barrio seethe. The street here was maybe paved once, but patches of dirt rose up through ancient concrete-like mange. Chain-link fences enclosed haphazard, yellow-grassed, postage-stamp yards, and patches of sidewalk here and there were linked together with dusty boardwalks that looked ancient as the Mayflower. Everything looked deserted, but I would have bet my roll of stolen cash and my gun that there were eyes on us. I leaned against Theron, my stomach empty and a hot weight of bile rising in my throat. Anya Davies' coat was flayed by hellbreed claws, and her eyes were alight. Dried blood crusted her hair and her cheek, and thin blue lines of healing sorcery sank into her skin, pulsing through her aura. I'd wanted to help apply the sorcery, since God knew I had enough etheric force humming through my right hand, but she'd shied away, just like I'd twitched away from Perry.
I don't know if I like that.
She was braced against a graffiti-scarred storefront, leaning forward, elbows on her bent knees.
Oh, they want you bad, sweetheart. That's a good sign. We're clear. Theron?
Theron ran his free hand back through wildly mussed dark hair. The bruises were getting better, but the circles under his eyes were so dark they looked painted on. Low on his right side, his shirt was crusted with blood, but he was moving all right.
I could use a burrito, and a good stiff drink wouldn't go amiss either.
In a few minutes. Jill?
I wiggled my left toes. I'd somehow lost a sneaker, and my sock was torn up and filthy. I wasn't bleeding very badly. Everything on me ached, but the wounds just closed up on their own. Food sounds good.
Booze sounds better. And a chance to sit down and think about some shit wouldn't be bad either.
Good fucking deal. Wait a second, though.
Davy's hand came down and gripped my right wrist.
What?
The motion controlled itself as she turned my hand palm up. The gun pointed off to the side. Theron had my other arm, and I was effectively trapped. But I suffered it. For a bare half second, I wanted to twitch away, but my control reasserted itself.
She's a hunter. I can trust her.
She studied the gem in the street lamp glow, blue eyes unblinking.
Where'd you get that?
It was on me when I woke up, in a grave.
Yeah?
Shallow, out in the desert, just off a railroad line. I caught a ride into town last night. There was a diner and a blue-eyed man who gave me my gun back, and Martin Pours, nice guy, who pulled a vanishing act. Then I went to Walmart.
She eyed the trickle of hot blood easing down from my scalp. Head wounds are messy, and this one was still weeping a little. I'd probably have lost most of the pints I was carrying if not for the healing.
Superhuman healing, as if I'm still hellbrain-tainted. But the gem doesn't feel like Perry's mark on me. That scarred lip print.
This was something different. And I didn't like the idea that she might be checking me for
what?
Davy's free hand came up, and she smeared a little of the blood on my forehead, rubbed it between her fingers, considering.
She's clear. I don't know how or why, but she's clean. I suppose if you knew what happened to you, Kismet, you'd let me in on it?
I have some memories. Fragments. I remember I was on my way to the Monde to question Perry, because Saul, they had Saul.
What are you checking me for, Davy?
Great.
Davy let go of my wrist, wiping her bloody fingers on her leather pants.
Davy, what are you checking me for?
Later. All right, Faerun, you're right. Let's go. But then I'm taking her to Galena's.
Come on, Jill. Someone wants to see you.
Great. Is it someone else who wants to kill me?
Oh, no. At least, I'm almost sure he doesn't.
Faerun drew me away from the bodega and out into the street. Anya drifted behind us, rear guarding.
Jill, when we get to Sanctuary, I'll tell you everything I know. We've pieced together some of it, but the only person who knows everything is you. Was you.
Fantastic. That's just great. This is getting better and better. Still, things were looking up. We walked for a while, until we came to a house that loomed like a ruin. But when Faerun opened the unlocked door, a heavenly smell of bacon and eggs came drifting out. Stairs went up to the second level, a wrought iron banister rising in a sweet curve. And it was obvious someone had spent serious time making the inside as beautiful as the outside was decrepit. I stood there, my sock foot smearing blood and dirt on the tiles, and blinked. Down the hall was even more bright light.
Jesus. I mean, really?
Who would try to break in or steal from us here?
Hello, the house! Break out the cervezas and bring me a burrito! Look what I've got!
The arch off to our left was suddenly full of motion. Two women, their long, tawny hair hanging loose except for twin braids holding it back from their faces, appeared. They had a fluid economy of motion and wide, high, cheekboned faces. Wares. Their arms were bare and rippling with clean muscle, both of them in flannel button-downs with the sleeves ripped off. Barefoot and dark-eyed, they were both utterly beautiful. Something hot rose in my throat.
Jesus fucking Christ! It is!
Amelia, I studied her. And the other female, Lioness. Both of them, from the Norte Luz Pride. The sensation of puzzle pieces sliding together, dropping with a click, was beginning to be disconcertingly constant. Rahel, they stared. Their jaws dropped. Amelia pulled herself together first.
He's upstairs. It's... just brace yourself. Have you told her, Faerun?
Look at us. There hasn't been time. I was over by the Monde just poking around.
Yes. This was the story I wanted to hear. Come on, I need food. And absinthe. Please tell me you have some.
He hasn't told you anything, Jill?
She pulled me towards the staircase, each hardwood step sanded and glowing mellow gold. The good smell of healthy ware and cooking mixed together, and I began to feel like I might have survived the last few hours.
You look awful, by the way.
Thanks. We've been on the run. Look.
He's fading, but you'll fix that right up.
The staircase led to an open hall. Bedroom doors opened up off to the right, and at the end of the passage was an antique iron mission cross hung on the bathroom door. I knew it was the bathroom because the door was half open, and I saw a slice of white tile and scrubbed gleaming chrome, the edge of a claw-footed tub.
I'll bring you something to eat. Maybe you can persuade him to eat, too. He needs it. God, he's gonna be so... Listen to me. How are you? Are you all right?
Fine. Amelia?
Brace yourself. Really. It's... My God. Come on. Saul? Saul, I've brought someone to see you.
My heart leapt into my throat.
Saul?
The room was dark. Amelia drew me in, and the sudden gloom confused me. The room was very plain. White cotton drapes over a small window. A white iron bed. A long human shape on it. He was curled up, silver in his dark hair. And my skin tightened all over me. Was I afraid? Yes. Or no, I wasn't afraid.
I'm outright terrified.
Saul?
I tore my arm out of Amelia's grasp, and she let me. There was a cherrywood washstand by the door. My hip bumped it as I took two unsteady steps. The shape on the bed didn't stir. The silver in his hair was charms. Ones I knew. I'd given him every one of them. Tied most of them in with red thread, too, while sunlight fell over us, and a catware's purr made the air sleepy and golden. Sometimes he would drum his long coppery fingers on my bare knee, and I would laugh. I remembered how filthy I was. That never mattered to him. It smelled sick in there. Dry and terrible, a rasping against my sensitive nose, like a hole an animal had crawled into to die. It was clean, certainly. Every corner scrubbed, and the bed covers and drapes bleached and starched. Still, the reek of illness brushed the walls with shrunken centipede fingers.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with him, Amelia?
Mate sickness. The closer you can get to him, the better. Lie down next to him. He needs to know you're alive. God, we thought you were dead. Wares don't survive without their mates. You know that.
I was...
Just go to him, Jill.
The shape on the bed stirred. Just a little. I saw a gleam of dark eyes under silver-starred hair. Only it wasn't just the silver. There were pale streaks. Gray or white. That's new. Saul. When he twitched, the gem on my wrist warmed. The sensation was like crystal stroked by a wet fingertip.
When you're ready.
I was beginning to think I wasn't ready for anything about this. But it was too late. I'd already clawed my way out of my own grave, hadn't I?
You can't do that and not accept the consequences.
Saul? My knees hit the side of the bed. I stared down at him. His back was to me, and even in the dimness, I could see he was skeletal. The sharp boniness of a hip under his boxers, ribs standing out in stark relief, shoulder blades like fragile wings. His head was too big for his neck, and he tipped it back. A gout of something hot boiled up inside me. There was nothing in my stomach to throw up, but the shaking all through me demanded I do something. Kill whatever was hurting him. Hold it down and put a bullet or 20 through its head.
You?
God, Saul. That managed to make him move. Slowly, painfully, hitching one hip up, rolling. My hands were fists. One of his scarecrow hands lifted, dropped back down on the white lace coverlet. He tried again, reaching up, and I grabbed that hand with both of mine. He jerked in surprise. For a mad moment, I was sure I'd hurt him, tried to ease up, but his fingers bore down with surprising, hysterical strength. He pulled, and I went down onto the bed, trying not to land on him. His stick-thin arms closed around me. His thin lips landed on my bloody forehead. His leg snaked up and over me. Body curled around mine as if he could hold us both down while a storm passed overhead. His stick arms were strong for a ware who was wasting away. How could I possibly have forgotten him? Even if I forgot myself, I would remember him. If I was blind, I would know him. I hadn't even known what I was missing. But it had been him. I should have been looking for him as soon as I clawed up into the night and screamed.
I was. I didn't know it, but I was.
I couldn't even tell if that was a lie I was telling myself or the bare, honest truth. Because the sobs were coming so hard and fast, they shook both of us. We curled around each other like morning glory vines. And for that short while, everything else faded away. He didn't say anything else. And neither did I. There was no need.
The gun was up. Pressure on the trigger in my arm, straight and braced. I blinked, and Anya Davie, her blue eyes narrowed, held both hands up, one of them freighted with a glowing green glass bottle.
Easy there, killer.
Oh. Other than Davie, the room was empty. Westering sunlight poured past the sheer white drapes. I felt cotton stuffed, the way you do if you've ever fallen asleep after a long, racking bout of sobbing, like I'd been cleaned out and novocained. My mouth tasted fucking awful, too. My foot had swollen inside the one sneaker I still had on.
I want a hot shower, a gallon of coffee, and some weapons. It's not necessarily in that order.
Where's Saul?
He's downstairs, eating. He has a lot of body mass to put back on.
Oh. Davie offered me the venom green bottle as I leaned back against the headboard. Licorice and alcohol.
Absinthe.
Davie believes in the stuff the way other people believe in football, God, or sex. Mikhail had felt that way about vodka. Me? I can take it or leave it. I save all my love for the tools to get the job done.
No, I don't. I save most of it for him.
Go on, take a hit. Good for you. Cures everything. Or do you remember hating it?
Oh, God! My face squinched up. It coated the back of my throat and went off in my stomach like a bomb. It didn't taste great, but it was booze after all. And a belt was just the thing to bolster me.
Here.
She accepted the bottle back. Then she lowered herself cautiously into a high-backed mission-style chair by the bed. The one thing I'd missed last night.
So, you bleed clean. That's not a breed mark on your arm anymore. A couple months ago, you disappeared. Found my car torched out in the desert, plus one very large crater that reeked of angry hill breed out where those goddamn stones are. Or where they were, I should say, because whatever it was shattered them and fucked up the lee lines, but good. We're in the middle of a war here, and all of a sudden you show up at the Mondi, buff they run out just in time, and—
I bled clean before, even though I had the mark. She said nothing, examining me like a gunfighter. Crow's feet touched the outer edges of her eyes, and the lines as her mouth pulled tight against itself would only keep carving themselves deeper from now on.
It is our job to keep gazing, unflinching, on the worst hell has to throw at us. It is our job never to look away.
I barely even remembered my own name. I killed a traitor on a rooftop. He had a card for the Monday. I went there. Perry seemed glad to see me.
Whew. Right into the lion's den. Phew. Well, at least that hasn't changed.
I heard Theron. I thought it was Saul. Everything came back. At least, everything up to a certain point. So I got him the hell out of there.
Good. He shouldn't have been there. So, here's the million-dollar question, Kismet. You still a hunter?
It's not like I have a choice of career options. As soon as I said it, I knew it wasn't strictly true. You could lay it down and walk away at any moment. Nobody would say a word or judge you.
Idiots. They think we do this for them. There is only one reason to do what we do, Milaya. Is for to quiet screaming in our own heads.
Honest silver on vein to heart.
Now it begins.
Dasvidanya.
Mikhail. I found out something about him.
You did? Okay, here's another million-dollar question, Kismet. Do you want the last 2.5 months back? Or do you want to head out into the res with that ware of yours? There's no obligation, Jill. You did what you had to do.
What did I do? That's the one thing I can't remember. I woke up in my own grave, Davie. I'm as confused as it's possible to get. I'm digging myself up, then there's this guy drops me off in an alley, and all I can think of is getting some ammo. But I didn't remember the silver, or Jesus, fuck me, Christ! Of course I want my goddamn memory back! What are you thinking?
I have an idea. But have you considered that you might not want your memory? That there might be things you prefer to forget? This isn't the type of job that gives you happy dreams. Saul loves you. You've got a chance to...
There's a war on, right? Against wares? And you expect me to sneak off into the sunset? Great. Now I know what you really think of me, right? Great.
They're driven into the barrio. Galena's doing what she can, but you... You do remember Galena, right?
Of course. I remember almost everything, up to the moment I pulled up in front of the Monday. I was working on a case, which I'm guessing is wrapped up now. Can you find me some clothes and more weapons?
I can, but Jill...
Hold the thought. I gotta pee. I made an inglorious retreat out into the hall. I wasn't lying. I really did have to piss like a racehorse. But I was afraid that if I stayed in there any longer, I'd lose my temper. Or even worse, I would look down at the space on the bed next to me, the pillow still dented from Saul's beautiful, wasted head, and entertain ideas of riding off into the sunset after all. I was taller than Anya, and broader in the hips, but the leather pants fit me just fine, and the black angel cake devil shake t-shirt, too. I knew that wasn't mine. I'd started buying my tees plain, and in job lots, because they ended up shot and blood-drenched. Not to mention sliced, diced, and dipped in unspeakable foulness so much. Just like the rest of me. Even the sports bra and unmentionables fit just fine. There was a pair of scarred leather boots that looked damn familiar, and hugged my feet as if they'd been broken in but good. But it was the weapons that did it. Another modified .45, this one shiny instead of dull black. Holsters for both the old gun and the new. Complicated array of leather straps that came alive in my hands, buckling itself on like an octopus hugging me, holding weapons. Knives with silver loaded along the flats, from the big mongoose to a slim stiletto almost lost in its sheath. Cartridges of silver jacket ammo, and the crackling new bullwhip with wicked sharp sweet silver jingles at its tip, secured in its own little loop. The coat was a little too long, a black leather trench instead of a duster like Davies, and it smelled like comfort. Copious pockets and more loops sewn in for the pile of ammo Davy had brought up in two paper grocery bags. The more I slipped into the loops, the better I felt. Thou who... I shut my mouth. The prayer had no place here, but it kept going under the surface of my conscious thought. I found when I repeated it, the wasp noise retreated, left me alone.
Thou who hast given me to fight evil, protect me. Keep me from harm.
Except it was useless.
I ended up dead. There are wares hiding in the barrio, and Anya's still here instead of back over the mountains in her own territory, keeping the scurf down and the traitors under wraps.
The bathroom was white tile, clean as a whistle, and my dirty clothing had been whisked away by a tight-lipped Amelia. The shower was ancient, the kind with the curtain attached to a hoop bolted to the wall. And the mirror showed a gaunt woman with mismatched, exhaustion-ringed eyes and a habit of not meeting her own gaze. I was milk pale, but the shaking in my hands went down with every weapon I strapped on.
Oh yes, this is what I've been missing.
The knock startled me, and I thought it was Anya.
Hi, kitten.
He was still too thin, leaning against the wall. The plaid flannel shirt and jeans hung scarecrow on him, and his hair fell in his dark eyes, scarred with small silver charms. His cheekbones stood out sharply, his proud nose a blade of bone and skin, and his mouth turned down at both corners. My jaw dropped. I stared. Wares are beautiful. There is no corruption in them. Nothing like a hellbreed or traitor. Hunters can track breed. Humans have an advantage in hunting what we're akin to. But in wares, everything is burnished. It's humanity, yes.
but with so much of the crap burned away. He was holding something up, his expressive fingers just knobs of bone and skin.
I thought you want this.
It was a stick of coal eyeliner. I grabbed for it. My God, thank you. I didn't even know I was missing.
Are you all right? What happened to you? I couldn't find you anywhere, Jill. Not even the wind carried a hint. You were gone.
I woke up in my own grave. The last thing I remember is screeching up to the Monde because they'd taken you. Right outside Galena's. Davy says she's got a way for me to remember how the case ended up.
Are you sure you want to?
The only thing I'm sure of right now is that every bit of firepower I strap on makes me feel better. Oh, and that I'm gonna put a bullet or 12 in the head of anything that hurts you. A good grocery list to start out with, right? She says she can do it. She's got an idea, I guess. And as soon as she tells me I can get started...
No. Are you sure you want to remember?
Yeah. Of course. I've got to. There was Perry. And Belisa was mixed up in it. The eye, too. Gilberto's probably got that. Gil's at Galena's, I'm betting.
Yeah. Locked up tight. Poor kid. Just let me get some more food and we'll get going.
Saul!
Don't even start with me. If you're going, I'm going. I'm not losing you again.
You didn't lose...
Here's what I know, Jill. You told Theron to make sure the first thing I heard when I woke up was she loves you. And Davy, god damn her, always found a reason not to be in the room when I showed up. Until I cornered her and she told me you'd been... that you'd bargained yourself away for me. And I couldn't find you. I couldn't find you anywhere, even inside. You were gone. I went half mad looking for you, then I came back to the barrio to die. And now, here you are, inside and out, and everywhere you go now, I'm going with you. Everywhere.
He turned on his heel, sharply. The hall almost rocked around him. One gaunt ware with the burned candle smell of anger trailing behind him in eddies and swirls. Even their anger is clean. It doesn't twist into hatred. You won't ever find a ware trading. But you might find a hunter trading. You just might. Especially for what she loves. What she can't do without. Oh, a wave of shudders went through me. But I knelt anyway. I found the charms and tweezed them up delicately. Three of them. A tiny silver shoe, like the one from the Monopoly game. A Celtic cross. An exquisitely carved spider. It was there on my knees, clutching the eyeliner and the small bits of silver, that it hit me. The blue-eyed mute who had paid for my breakfast and given me my gun. He had seemed familiar. Too familiar.
I know who he is.
The knowledge opened up another door in my head, but only halfway. Halfway was enough.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. God!
My arms came up, and I hugged myself, rocking back and forth. God didn't answer. He never does.